You are listening to Journeys with Rebecca Radio with your host, Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries. Coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
All right, everyone. Good evening. I am here in the heart of America, Kansas City, broadcasting live and heard on WolfSpiritRadio.com, as well as Journeys with Rebecca. Everyone, and welcome to the show. You can join us in the chat rooms. We've got a couple of them going tonight, WolfSpiritRadio.com or JourneysWithRebecca.com. When you arrive at my website, JourneysWithRebecca.com, please don't forget to sign up for the newsletter that's there. It's right over there on the left-hand side. This is where you will get all the latest updates and announcements, confidential, so it will keep you informed as to any topics, events, guest changes, any of that stuff. So please do sign up for that. Tonight's really going to be a really interesting show. This is a special Thursday night broadcast. I have a really fantastic person here with me tonight. His name is Stu Webb. He actually lives in the same general vicinity as I do, the greater Kansas City area. He's a whistleblower. Some of you may know him from the interviews he's done with Kerry Cassidy and many other people. He's here tonight to do a bit of whistleblowing himself. He's going to give us some of the latest breaking news, and we're going to go into that quite a bit tonight. We're also going to be talking a bit more in length about underground bases, the contract with the U.S. and the ETs, what that really means, Hollow Earth, and we're going to get into a whole bunch more. We're going to talk about HARP. We're going to get into it all. So we hope that you will join us. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this and Journeys with Rebecca and Stu Webb, so stay with us.
For the latest news and information, please go to Rebecca's website. Log on to wowwowwow.journeyswithrebecca.com and also wowwowwow.rebeccajernigan.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. Send an email to the show to Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. You are listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Are we back? Hello, we're back. I love it. I never know when we're back. good evening, everyone. This is my first day in the job, so give me a minute and I'll get myself acclimated. I want to welcome each and every one of you to this very special Thursday night broadcast and to welcome our guest tonight, Stu Webb. Stu, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate you having me. It's always an honor.
Well, you know, I tell you, I've been trying to absorb a lot of the information. You know, you and I have spoken quite a bit, quite frequently this week about some of the things that, you know, you have privy to and that you're paying attention to. I have to say, a lot of the information that you're giving out is really very timely. And I myself personally, Stu, don't have a lot of whistleblowers on. And I don't have them on because a lot of other people, like such as Kerry, bring them forward. But I think the information that you have tonight with some of this latest breaking news, as well as what some of the information is that people really need to know about that they might not have looked about some issues that are still currently going on that's never been resolved, and especially when we're talking about the bank bailout and, you know, the economy and all of that stuff, as well as some of the other topics that you and I spoke about that we're going to be getting into, which is more of the what we would call the paranormal or the metaphysical aspect of some of the stuff that you actually know about. So I'm really quite pleased to know that you're literally living about, I don't know, maybe, what, 20 miles from me. It's just kind of crazy.
It's kind of interesting.
It really is. It really is. Had I have known that, I would have been in contact with you a long time ago if I'd known you were this close in the area. So it's pretty interesting. Small world. Small world. However, I do need to let you know, Stu, that my engineer is actually in Scotland. So, you know, we are literally coming to everyone from around the globe. So this is really fantastic.
Yeah,
let's start out with you beginning with some of the stories that you wanted to present to everyone tonight.
Well, you know, people would probably, for the edification of the listeners, kind of get my background. I've been at this for 28 and a half years exposing what I call the Bush, Milman, Clinton crime syndicate. And the Milmans were my ex-in-laws, Leonard Milman, who was one of the 100 Illuminati bankers, they call him, one of the 100 richest on the planet. I didn't know it when I married his daughter. I had no idea. Actually, I didn't even have a relationship with him. I'd met him on one time, spent 3 days in his home, a couple nights, and saw that, you know, he was kind of belligerent to people. And I was thinking about when I had met his daughter here in Kansas City, I thought about, you know, moving to either Denver or Dallas because I was a small home builder. And back in 1980, we were paying the 16% interest and 16 points to close houses. And I was doing alternative financing, so I was one of the few builders around with fast-track construction, should we say. So I wasn't taking out construction loans, and I would close the in loans, and they would verify the bills and the title company, and et cetera. So by doing them in 30 days, I saved money and put it in my pocket. So I was one of the few builders taking permits out in Kansas City. And back in that time frame, and being able to get, you know, people out of apartments and starter homes and such, and I did a lot of business in Johnson County, Mark, and different areas, a lot of remodel, a lot of add-ons.
We're losing you, Stu. I don't know if we're losing you because you're not talking into your mic or...
I'm talking in the mic. It's probably the NSA interrupting us this evening.
Oh, alphabet soup companies, love them. All right, go ahead.
But I had met this girl, make it simple as I can. I'd met her, and we were married for 3 years, a child on the way, and she started doing crazy things and acting like fruitcake. So she chased me through the house with a gun once. I took her to a shrink over it. Because I had to actually hit her the only time I hit a woman, and I had to actually hit her to keep her from shooting me. And her gynecologist had, you know, did a stitch on her or two off of her back of her head where I smacked her in the side. And I never hit a woman, but you got a gun at you, you hit the person. But the point was, is they sent her, forced her to shrink, should we say. Turns out to be I took her to three of them. They called her a child abuse, now adult syndrome. Make it simple and sweet for those that know psychology. Woman's been married three other times that I'm aware of. Destroyed all the marriages. All lasted the same 4 years. The point was, my daughter's 28 days old. She picks up an ashtray off the coffee table and says, I will kill it before I allow you to have it because I was threatening her with divorce if she didn't go see a shrink. This is 28 days after our daughter was born. It was the most bizarre thing I had ever had. The police were there. They brought child welfare involved. They said either I could jail her or give her a break, and it'd be the end of the marriage if I jailed her. So I thought, well, keep her into the marriage. I'm going to try to salvage the marriage, get her help. Turned out to be that she disappears the next day after child welfare, state of Texas, said she had to get a psychiatric evaluation within 7 days. And they were aware that she had been there. Within 6 days, she disappeared next day while I'm gone to work. In my building business, I'd moved to Dallas because of the interest rates at 12%. I was out doing a job. Matter of fact, I remember being outside another contract that day. And I come back, she was gone. 6 days later, I get divorce papers. Within 2 weeks, I'm in a divorce court. They're giving her custody of my child, temporary custody. I had... The child welfare, the state of Texas, had warrants out for arrest for not obeying the agreed order. And they bought her way out of it. They got her out of the courtroom. She was never arrested. Less than a year later, after spending $10,000 on two different attorneys, the second one came out and told me, he says, you don't know who you're up against. He was saying that he had been threatened. He wanted off the case. His life was in danger. I didn't know what the hell he meant. I went shopping for attorneys in Dallas. They're all telling me $250,000 to ever see my kid. I said, you're crazy. No, you got to contribute $250,000 to the judge's election campaign because your ex-father-in-law gave her $75,000. Turned out to be it was a bribe. It wasn't an election that you could contribute to a judge's while in Texas. It was a loan from Republic Bank, Republic Finance of Dallas that she never paid back. Still up to 5 years ago, it was never paid. The point is, they bought her way out. I moved back to Kansas City. I said, I'm not going to live in a state that does this, takes away kids, you know, from their parents, et cetera. I come back up here. Within 6 months, I'm reporting the FBI about money laundering and loan sharking that I found and about what had happened in Texas. Next thing I know, I'm being arrested at a stop sign for running a stop sign. My car's being towed in, and I'm going to jail. I'm saying you don't go to jail over running a stop sign that I never ran. Next thing I know, I'm being arrested every time I turn around for DUIs, of which I wasn't even drinking. I spent $50,000 from 1986 to 1991 in attorney fees. All charges always dropped, dismissed, or found not guilty. I spent $50,000 in phone calls. This was before unlimited long-distance phone calls. And digging on my former father-in-law. Every time I turned over a stone, first, I'll give you my background. Real estate construction. Licensed when I was a realtor, 21. 22, I built my first house. Stayed in the housing building business and remodel business. So I knew a little bit about, go back and check deeds, see what kind of property this guy owns in Colorado. I found he owned $2.5 billion worth of bare land tracts in Colorado alone. This was apartment units and commercial property. I'm saying Forbes magazine says the richest is around $1 billion. He's got $2.5 billion. There's something wrong here. So I went back to the FBI, a mistake. The heat came back down on me again. So at that point, I was digging on HUD. I found that he owned a bunch of HUD or a bunch of apartment complexes. He was getting, HUD money through, et cetera. So I contacted HUD and said, look, I find something unusual. This guy's building new apartments, and he's not forking any money out of his pocket according to what I'm doing on research. Well, it happened to be the HUD Inspector General, Deputy Inspector General at HUD, Chris Greer, good guy, says, you know, hey, we've had these guys lit up on our semi-annual reports to HUD for the past 6 months. Well, it turned out to be that it ended up from 1988. What ends up happening is they wanted me to testify in 1989 against them in the HUD hearings, the mod rehab HUD hearings. I caused. An independent prosecutor was appointed as a result of the work that I did. I didn't want to appear. I said, these people are mob dogs. I kept digging. This one investigator with the house says, hey, Stu, we got this guy named Pete Bruton that's writing a book, and he's a reporter with the Houston paper, writing stories about the savings and loans being robbed. And it happens to be that your ex-father-in-law and his partner, Larry Mizell, and Phil Wynn's name keeps popping up. I said, yeah, do you want to talk to him? I said, I don't want my name out there. So it ended up, I hooked up with him, and it turned out to be that they were on him on all the savings and loans, looking at a lot of stuff. So they ended up having the Silverado savings and loans. I give credit to everybody tonight that was involved. We had a former admiral that lost his law license in Colorado, Dick Young, who was involved in helping me expose him on the Denver airport. We had Pete Bruton that wrote the book, The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush, that had a bunch of the SNL ties with Larry Mizell and Milman's attorney, Norman Brownstein, that always keeps showing up as the director on everything. And, of course, they got convictions against Phil Wynn, former ambassador to Switzerland, was ambassador at the time, former FHA commissioner. So basically what ended up by networking and having about 300 articles written between 1988 and 1991, it helped cause the congressional HUD hearings with an independent prosecutor, which I was credited for, Arlen Adams. It had the Silverado hearings that they covered up later. It had the Denver airport, which had 14 federal investigations on fraud and everything else, and bribes and payoffs. It all got covered up. And what they called the Keating Five later, which was actually the MDC Holdings, the parent of Silverado, the same one that's involved in the mortgage frauds today that robbed all the SNLs, etc. They had those hearings about illegal political campaign money laundering, greasing all the congressmen and senators, violating campaign laws, where they were telling subcontractors of Richmond American Homes, one of the largest in the country today, bring me an invoice and a check up here made out to Frederico Pena, the mayor of Denver, or this congressman or that one, and make it look like you finished out the basements on these houses, of which they never did. And all of a sudden, you know, I got somebody inside Colorado to do something. Jonathan Beatty pops it in Time Magazine, which led from his articles in Time Magazine in 1990 about Silverado into BCCI that was all tied up with Charles Keating, that I was already working with the investigators on Charles Keating that helped put Charles Keating in jail, which was private attorneys. So they made me a political prisoner when they found out that it was me. They issued an artificial warrant saying I made death threats to my former father-in-law. Well, I didn't. And those and the charges were dismissed after holding me for 10 and a half months to silence me. When I got out, I got mad. And there's three things you want to do when you get out of prison if you've been held that long. You want to get laid, you want to get even, and you want to get drunk. You know, and I did all three things. And my form of getting even was hit the radio again, which I had already done 70 radio shows while I was hiding from the FBI. So I've done now, I think, 2,500 and some odd radio shows up until about 2003 or 4, and I slowed up on those. Well, now it's kind of like they're back in the news all over the place. People are realizing that I'm holding valuable information, and I think our mutual friend, should we say, Kerry, for doing that TV program with me, and I thank you for putting me on. But over the years, since the 1993 time frame, I found out they were behind the Oklahoma City bombing. They were behind 9-1-1, and they are the current bank bailout scamsters, of which we had them myself. I was approached by people in the CIA and other agencies because they were forming a team, quote unquote, to go after the crooks and try to shut them down, put them in jail for treason and sedition. Well, that hasn't worked yet. And they had them go into bankruptcy court in 2007. And in 2008, they were getting ready to pop. They were so deep into it, they were ready to collapse. And Bush bails them out at the taxpayers' expense. And he knew what was going on because George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, Marvin Bush, the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, including their attorney James M. Lyons, were all involved and were partners in financial crimes, drugs and guns, Iran-Contra, etc., with my former father-in-law, who was the international Knights Templar Illuminati banker that was laundering all the money from those things. Today, when he's supposedly deceased in 2004, they pass the helm of the trillions that they steal. They pass it to the next Illuminati banker, which is Larry Mizell, who was the one that thought up the great idea on mortgages and these financial frauds of bundled. They were buying mortgages from lenders all across the nation, and then they would falsify, after they sold the bundle to Wall Street, they would falsify the mortgages by creating mortgages on the same houses that didn't exist, creating the duplicated paperwork and selling them in bundles. And this is what has led to the bank bailout that nobody wants to talk about. This is the reason so many people, 3.5 million, according to Elizabeth Warren, that is now running for Senate, that they wouldn't allow to be the head of this new committee because she knew what was going on. 3.5 million people had their homes taken away from them illegally because Citicorp would come in after the bailout, say, or one of the other banks that they own and control would come in and say, oh, no, we own that mortgage, even though they had been paying for 20 years to XYZ mortgage company and were up to par on their mortgage. They would come in and illegally steal it until all of a sudden, you know, these attorney generals around the country started figuring out fraud was going on with the banks. And, of course, now they come in and cover it up with, what, a $25 billion settlement. Now, they've also done a second thing. They were creating mortgages on houses in Southern California that didn't exist. It got collapsed, the California retirement pension fund. So these are the same gangsters, the same people. They've been involved in every major financial scandal, including junk bond daisy chain, et cetera, the Michael Milken and a whole bit. And I've been reporting on this for years. I've tried to get the FBI, the DEA to bust them because they're controlling 11 state drug operations, all still alive, Iran-Contra. On the front of my news site, StuWeb.com, Everybody go down, scroll down. The history, the last half of the page tells about me and my history, should we say, and the books that I've contributed and where my name appears and doesn't appear. Anyway, that's my story.
Well, that's one ride there, buddy. Let me tell you that, Stu.
Well, there's one whistleblower I talked to is quite famous. Has been out of the scene for a long time. That wrote the book Clinton Bush and the CIA.
Yeah,
Reed. He told me, he said, "Stu, you were one of the few still living. Everybody else is dead," and that's truth because I've seen 40 people killed that I have worked with. 40 people are dead who was trying to blow the whistle on these people. And what can I say?
Well, Stu, let me tell you something right now. You know, first of all, your website is filled with tons and tons of information. I've reposted it in here in the chat box tonight. We have a lot of people who are very interested in following the research that you've done up to this point, and will continue, I'm sure, to follow your research and your findings and your connecting the dots kind of a thing. So just know that the word is being spread even as we speak. It's going to be spread, and it's going to continue to be spread.
We're having an awakening in America like never seen before. And I hate to say it, Rebecca, but it took the financial collapse with the banks to wake them up. 9-1-1 helped wake them up. Of course, Oklahoma City, that was an awakening of a lot of people that were already out there. But now everybody's being squeezed because what happened is this. These Illuminati bankers, the 1%, had control of 20% of the economy of the U.S. GDP in 1981. Today, they've gotten control of 90 to 95% as a result of all the theft and drug narcotics, money laundering, and the trillions of dollars that have bought up Wall Street and bought up everything. So now everybody's squeezed. And these 100 men around the world, the Illuminati bankers, control 90% of the economies worldwide. And that's what is really woke the people up. And I thank God, I hate to say it, it took the squeeze to wake the people up to where they're starting to listen to the truth out here of what has happened. Now's the time to take all the money back for everybody to realize that they are the government, to take control of these criminals, shut down this crime syndicate worldwide, and take all the money back, respectively, and give it back to the countries. If we took the money, confiscated that Larry Mizell alone in Denver, Colorado, has nearly $25 trillion, it would solve the national debt. We could create our own U.S. bank again, like Kennedy signed the executive order, and we would have enough money that we wouldn't have homeless on the streets. Just the apartments they own, 500,000 units. Part of them are empty, 10%. They could take and put those people off the streets into those apartments, and it would solve America's problem. And they could declare everybody's mortgage and their loans on their car to be null and void.
You know, Stu, I got my hand raised for all of that. I've got my hand raised for all of that. You know, and truly, you know, what concerns me is that there's so many people on this earth and so few little who are controlling the masses. And it's sad. It's very, very, very sad that this kind of stuff is going on in the here and now. I mean, you and I talked earlier this week, and I actually knew several people who had paid their mortgage. They were paying their mortgages, absolutely paying their mortgages. They were not behind. They weren't behind at all. And their homes were actually repossessed, were foreclosed on. And these people had families and they had to move their children. And they literally lost everything. And they're like most people that don't have the horrendous bank accounts in order to pay for these high priced attorneys in order to fight what's happening.
I'll tell you, attorneys, as far as I'm concerned, are the biggest scumbags on the world. They're the ones that have caused a major portion of this problem because they don't have guts, balls, integrity. They're slime. They don't. The whole justice system is totally corrupt. The courts are corrupt. The U.S. or the attorney, prosecuting attorneys are corrupt. The judges are corrupt. And 90% of the attorneys on the streets are corrupt.
Well, I do know that there are some really...
I've heard horror stories about these judges.
Oh, yeah. The judges, you know, and that's the whole point, is that this is reaching, you know, critical mass. That's what's going on in this country, is reaching critical mass. We have so much that's going on in every facet of everyone's life. This all of this affects each and every one of us individually as well as collectively. And there's going to be an implosion. However that I would prefer it to be an easier thing as opposed to being a more difficult thing. But I want to interrupt for just a minute. I want to stop you here because we already have some questions. One of this is, you were talking about the Bushes and the Clintons, and one of the questions is Obama in with these guys? Do you have any information on that?
Yes. If a person goes to my website, stuweb.com, scrolls down about an inch, they'll find breaking news. Click on it, scroll down a foot. After you see the connections, I've got the Bush crime family flowchart, the Bush crime family, there's all kinds of links describing who these people are. There's even $1 trillion worth of bank account transfers of $100 billion at a time to my ex-in-law of drug money that I posted up there, that's Federal Reserve documents. You can go take a look. But if they scroll down into the breaking news, there's all kinds of reports that Tom Hennigan and I've been doing about Obama. And it's in the past 2 weeks, there was one about Obama taking bribes with the Prime Minister of Canada in one of Tom Hennigan's postings. Just get into all that breaking news. I'm my own webmaster. I'm a one-man operation. You know, if I could take everything in breaking news and put it in archives, it would make it simple. My whole entire website is out of date, but the current date is all on breaking news. Breaking news is where they find it. But yes, we reported on Obama. This guy has put about $3 billion in his pocket from Daddy Bush since he's been in office. And he was blackmailed from day one. He had served in the CIA secretly. He isn't the president of the United States. He can't be POTUS because he's not an American. The Constitution says you can be a congressman or senator, but you can't be the president or vice president. You must be born in the United States. And this guy applied at Oxley for a loan, saying he was at college in California, saying that, and was applying for a loan, student loan, saying he was born in Kenya. He admitted it himself in his documents. And so he can't be legally the president. We've been overthrown a long, long time ago. But Hillary Clinton blackmailed him right off the bat to be Secretary of State because they had given him the voodoo drug when he was the senator up there. And the voodoo drug makes him do about anything. And, they took pictures of him and Larry Sinclair. We call it the Obama gay scandal. And, Hillary got in office as a result of that. And, of course, Eric Holder, the cover-up meister, part of the Mark Rich theft of security frauds from the past, etc. Eric Holder was the law firm partner that represented Mark Rich. And Eric Holder's been a cover-up meister for years. The problem that we have is the Justice Department since 1981, when the real overthrow came of America, when Daddy Bush became vice president, they took over the Justice Department, and every attorney general that has been up there has been a frigid criminal, and covered up for him. And they had the Inspector General of the Public Integrity Section, they called it the God Squad. Lee Reddick was always in charge, covering it up, and now they have David Mann. And I have David Mann's bribes from my former father-in-law up in a link that calls Bush Narcotics Money Laundering Funds Obama McCain. And it's on the top of the news site.
Wow. Okay, we got some other questions and some other stuff that's coming in. So why don't we do this real quick? We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Stu, we're going to pick this right up. So you guys stay with us. There's more of Stu Webb right here on Journeys with Rebecca. Don't go away.
We'll be right back. send an email to the show to Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. You are listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. Although many of you know me from my radio show, Journeys with Rebecca, I spent many years prior on TV, facilitating workshops, and presenting all across the United States. A gifted spirit communicator, certified in numerous healing techniques and skills. With my diverse tools, I can assist you in your quest for information of your own journey, unique to you. Please visit my website, RebeccaJernigan.com, to sign up for your confidential and personal reading today, or email me at journeyswithrebecca@yahoo.com.
For the latest news and information, please go to Rebecca's website. Log on to wowwowwow.journeyswithrebecca.com and also wowwowwow.rebeccajernigan.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Wow. All right, here we are. We're with Stu Webb right here on Journeys with Rebecca. What, you know, really fascinating stuff, Stu, I have to tell you. Lots of pieces of information there. There's a lot to wade through on your website. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a detrimental way. I mean, you've got lots and lots of links up there. There's a lot of background information. There's, you know, so if anybody wants to go to Stu Webb's website, you start at the bottom if you want to know the history and work your way up. And it brings you up into, you know, into the now time as he posts these new links and new pieces of information as he goes along. And you know, that would be the way to go about it if you really want to get into where all of this really started for him. Because his story would take days for us to sit here and share all the pieces of information. But it doesn't mean that the story isn't good, because the story is good because of this stuff really happens. It really is going on. As much as we would like to turn our back on it, as much as we'd like to not think about it, it still is going on. So here's another question, though, for you, Stu. I mean,
yes.
Well, I guess it's an open discussion. Let's reframe that. You know, if we did some of the things that you said, which is, you know, taking back the money, spread the wealth around the United States, and you know, we could cure an awful lot of things. But what it doesn't cure is the people who are in positions of authority, or who are authoritative over us, which is, you know, we call it the United States government, but I hesitate to even call it that. And that's where the main issue is that the government that we have, in my opinion, doesn't work for us. It's not working for the people. It's working for the hierarchy, the echelon, those that are behind, you know, all of the nefariousness and insidiousness on all levels for humanity. It's not just our country. I mean, this is going on worldwide. I mean, the few control the masses, you know, in the way that this is structured. So, you know, how do we change that? How do we get out of this very convoluted, very distorted whole voting thing and who is in charge and kind of a thing? Because if you cure what ails it, you have to go to the source, and the source is not just about the money. It's also about the people who are perpetrating the inhumane crimes against humanity.
Well, to answer the question, and that's a loaded one, but on my website, on the Break News page, I've got a link in there that's called Occupy. Let me think what it was, and maybe even look here. But it was Occupy, Arrest, Recall, and Impeach. And if a person goes in there, that's basically what the only solution is. First, we've got to start impeachment process against all the congressmen and senators. And hear me out, folks. everybody that voted for the NDAA Act, which says that they can come pick up any American at any time, the military can, Obama can order it, they come pick you up and they can detain you, torture you, and kill you without ever going to trial for just because they say you're a terrorist for speaking out against them and their crimes, as an example. Anybody that speaks out, and they will be doing that soon, believe me. And everybody that voted for that is impeachable offense. They could be impeached for that. They could be recalled immediately on that charge. Everybody that voted for the Patriot Act since 2001, those people can all be impeached because they swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the same thing that Ron Paul's out there yelling and screaming about, that he will uphold the Constitution and get rid of all this bogus crap. Now, those are impeachable, so that would wipe out about 7 out of 10 to 8 out of 10 of them. The others, what's left of them, I would be happy to supply the documents where they were paid off. Almost every one of them have been paid off, and all a person has to do is look at the do research on the financial statements that they have to supply to become a congressman on their background, and that is their financials. Look at the trust. The whole key is the trusts of their ownership and their daughter's name, their son's name, and their wife's name, the trusts. And look at the corporations that were handed to them where they owned 1% of this apartment complex over here in this corporate name, etc. A perfect example of that is a story that I have up it's on my table of contents off the front of the page about McCain in Arizona. And it's in the third column on my table of contents where it's in alphabetical order, John McCain's wife, you know, war crimes, profiteering, etc. It's in that third column over, it's in alphabetical order, it's at the bottom of that column. Go look at that. That's a perfect example we used in that story to show the bribes and payoffs of congressmen and senators. So the rest of them could be easily removed on that basis. Now, impeachment. If you got a judge that is illegal, if we had, you know, a masses out here doing it, you would see them running like crazy out of the courthouses, never to be seen again. But if they started impeachment proceedings against these people, and if there was an uprising in America of such event, you would have good people within, I believe, within the military who would stand up behind the people. As an example, you could ask yourself, why is it that when Leon Panetta went to Afghanistan last week, why is it that they disarmed the whole United States Marine Corps division there in Afghanistan? Why did they take grenades and bullets from him? Was there talk of someone's going to do Panetta? Why did they do that? And why is it that the military supports Ron Paul, a constitutionalist? Well, most people in the military are constitutionalists. They swore an oath of office, or swore an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States. And most of them realize we got criminals in office keeping them over there for nothing but drugs in Afghanistan. So my solution is, if the American people, when there's a, we go back to recall for a moment, you know, Wisconsin, they did the recall. There was a little town in Kansas over by you, someplace over south at Topeka, that did a recall of their mayor and two council members. It was on TV5 here in Kansas City no more than a couple of weeks ago. You know, so people can take action. It's real simple to do. It's a matter of people quit watching the TV, quit getting on the internet and bitching and moaning and groaning about the country and the shape it's in and nobody doing anything. Get out and get action. It's like all the kids with Occupy. It was the younger generation that were stuck with these, saddled with these loans that they must pay, or the debtor's court puts them in jail for not paying their student loans. So their mom and pops had to pay them. They can't afford to pay them. They got mom and pops in the real hot seat right now. They can't afford to put it out either, because a lot of their parents are a lot older than what I am or you are. And Rebecca, and as a result, they can't be paying it out of their Social Security or their retirements. So these kids are hitting the streets because there are, many of them are educated, can't get jobs in their field, etc. And it's because of this crime syndicate and what they've done. They've taken over. They've created these multiple, you know, these huge corporations, and they've eliminated the mom pop operations. It's just like Walmart's. I mean, sure, it's cheap to go to Walmart, buy their cheap products and their cheap food, but that's part of the problem that we've had. And if you go back to the financing of Walmart, it goes right back to Milman and Mizell in Denver, Colorado. It's always these Illuminati bankers, and they want to control the corporations. They want to control the government. They want to eventually totally control you. And this is what leads to the most recent thing that I was going to put out and break out on your program tonight about this new secret base that they got in Bluffdale, Utah, the NSA has, where they're chipping are going to use that base to monitor everybody, which they're already doing, and monitor everybody worldwide. Well, an NSA whistleblower, I found out after being informed of this information in the past couple of weeks, and I was going to, you know, I was in the middle of writing a story and putting the details as much as possible. It happens to be the Wired, WIRED.com, broke the story with the former whistleblower of the NSA. Beautiful piece, except they're missing some things. So in the bottom of that link on my internet site, on the breaking news, it says about the NSA. Let me see what the title is. It's today's date. Just before we went on the air, I posted it up. But it's about the NSA, the title, according to what Wired had. But Wired did not have. It says the NSA is building the country's biggest spy watch or spy center. Watch what you say. In the bottom of it is details that they did not have in that story. And in that story, some of the details is the fact that everybody's chipped with their driver's license already, or their passport, or their credit cards. They've been doing this for like 15 years. Sometime in the mid-1980s, what they did is they took and put chips in all the vaccinations worldwide and put it through the health organization. And those chips that they did in these vaccinations, and besides putting AIDS in there, which was an American-made biochemical, which is on my site under table of contents, look under AIDS, it's there, the document by the government. They put AIDS in there. That's the reason you have all these black communities throughout the world dying of AIDS, like in Africa, you know, 7, 8 out of 10 are infected with AIDS because they've been getting it through the vaccination. They also been getting a chip worldwide. So they've already got everybody chipped up, and they don't even know it. And all these old people and everybody else that are stupid enough to go down here and take the flu shots, well, in the past 5 years, you've gotten a chip, and you don't even know it's in your body. And this chip is so small, it follows the curve of a molecule. Doctors can't even see it unless they really know what to look for and use a special dye, I heard, in order to find that particular chip. Now, that means they've got about 9 out of 10 people in the world chipped in some form. Driver's licenses, credit cards, bank cards, you know, vaccinations, etc. This new facility has been having anybody that has that chip, you're already lit up. You're going to be even worse shape, because here's what it ties to, which I broke out on Carrie Cassidy's program in that second video I did with her, the second program about the octopus that led back to the origination of all this high top secret satellite spying on you, was the Inslaw affair and the Inslaw software, which connected first to Daddy Bush's, we call him George Herbert Walker Bush, Daddy Bush's Inslaw and his Westar satellite system. And it's the control over the voting booths, as well as the control and listening and watching you through your TV that they were originally doing. So if you're making love to your wife or girlfriend or whatever, they're watching you. If you got your cable plugged in or you got your telephone on or whatever. Well, what's interesting is General Petraeus, DCI director, that is Central Intelligence Director, was up before Congress last week, and he testified, and in his testimony, he says, oh yeah, the chips are in the toasters. They're in the TVs, they're in the computers, and they're in the telephones. And yes, we can hear you and we can watch you. I find something else very interesting about the Secretary of Defense, Panetta, Leon Panetta, who's a Bush crime family stooge. I find his testimony very interesting last week, where he told the Congress, he says, well, I don't answer to you, Congressman. I answer to the UN and NATO. Excuse me, who did you say, Mr. Panetta, you answer to? And the congressmen and senators were stunned looking at each other. Now, if he doesn't answer to the Congress and Senate, he's violating his oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States. But to go further with this chipping, they have everybody already on their scope. They have what's called the death ray, and it was created, and it's at Area 51. It's what knocked down the towers on the day of 9-1-1. That's the reason they disintegrated. This death ray disintegrates the matter around the matter that makes the matter disappear. This is the reason you didn't find any bodies in the day of 9-1-1, because anything that got hit with that ray that was in that building disintegrated. That's the reason it turned to dust and dropped the way it did. No building would have pancaked. You would have had 30 stories out there of that building sitting there if it really had been an airplane and there was a structural problem. But they bombed it, and they had bombs all over it. There's plenty of videos out there on the internet that show this.
Yeah.
You know, that show the bombs on it. But the death rate, I'm aware of this because of sources I've developed over the years. I was locked up with 2,500 political prisoners. 500 of them were federal agents trying to stop these people from that night when I was locked up from 92 to 93. And the 2,000 of them were Iran-Contra people that Bush turned against before he left office as Daddy Bush, when Lawrence Walsh, the independent prosecutor, had him in the box, was getting ready to indict him. As soon as he left office, the indictment would have been unsealed, and the former president would have been hauled off to jail. Instead, what does he do? He pardons Caspar Weinberger, criminal drug lord today with Jeb Bush, Colonel Oliver North of Fox News, and all these other New World Order pigs. I might add, Ollie North was the one that set up FEMA and the detention camps illegally under Rex 84, and then it was adopted by the Congress and Senate as a government agency. And Jesse Ventura has covered this on his programs on True TV that are up there. The entire reports are up there on the internet. I might add, Jesse Ventura and I both have a mutual source of information. But I developed these sources out of prison. I developed these sources from their buddies. And over the years, I've been connected to people that want change, that defend the Constitution, that want these people in jail, but they themselves cannot do it. So collectively, they, should we say, reached out to Interpol. They're trying to do what they can, but the American people have to pick up the ball if there's ever going to be change. If not, here's where it ties to the satellite and this new facility with the NSA and their new underground base in Utah. What they're going to do, E-Systems has the death ray. They're going to take that, and anybody does that comply and get on their hands and knees and worship them, the evil, in another year, they're going to take that death ray, and I heard they're going to start zapping people. And when they hit you with that death ray, you turn to dust. There isn't even a pile of dust left on the concrete. It's just a smear that looks like someone put their cigarette out on the ground. So that's what they have in store for those that don't, should we say, comply with their new game. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid, oh, they're going to lock everybody up in detention centers. I got news for you. I don't think the detention centers are going to be needed. I think they're going to unleash that death ray that's being run out of Mobile, Alabama, with the joystick, the actual ray being out there in Area 51 past Papoose Lake, Nevada. And I think they're going to just be bouncing that ray off that satellite like they did to the towers on 9-1-1. And I might add, go in and look at this article. The NSA is building the country's biggest spy center. Watch what you say. Look at the bottom of the article, because I put a link to the architects and engineers who've been screaming about 9-1-1. Because why? Building number 7 fell. And what did they pick up when building number 7 fell? they got a light ray hit the building when it fell. So it complements what I've been saying since the day of 911, that they, on radio, that they hit the place with a ray, because I was aware of it and I was told by high people in government that were ticked off that they dropped those buildings. So what they've got in store for everybody is anybody that thinks that they aren't going to comply to their new world order, one world government with Satan in charge, you got something coming. Unless we stand up collectively now, start impeaching and recalling these people and demanding that these ones that have ripped us off, which is Larry Mizell, Carl Linder of Ohio, that's in my Bush crime family flowchart, the AIG boys and the Citicorp and all these others, including Goldman Sachs and some others, that they all be arrested and charged with crimes. Now, economic plunder is what you would call this bank bailout condition worldwide. That's the death penalty under U.S. laws in America.
Well, first of all, wow, that was a lot of information. Second of all, the 911 thing. I think you mentioned Building 7, and I think that is where they've tried to rebuild that area, and they can't. Everything just keeps disintegrating. The floors just go away. There's a whole portion of parts of New York where they can't rebuild on it. So they know that, pardon me, they know that there was technology that was used, and of course it's a big cover-up. They don't, you know, you don't hear that in the mainstream, but a big cover-up there with all of that, to be sure, Stu. And the idea of this big spy satellite place out there in Utah, or yeah, in Area 51.
It's not in Area 51. The new one, this new facility, Area 51 has the death ray, which ties in with the new facility.
Right.
That is in Bluffdale, Utah, right out of Salt Lake City, about 20 miles.
Right. Anytime you look at any of these, and you can see it happening when we went to these, you know, credit debit cards for people. Matter of fact, there was an article that was just produced just the other day, and actually somebody even called me and talked to me about it, which is they're saying, you know, if we went to just a credit card system kind of like thing and just got rid of the physical money, that it would actually save money. And I was like, it just blew my mind that people are going to buy into this, that if they get rid of the paper money and we become this digidollar thing totally and completely, that's when complete and utter control takes place.
Well, the problem that we have is, you know, I saw it, Rebecca, because I used to get stories. I got congressional investigations back in the 89 through 91 time frame, and there was even people out when I got out of prison as a political prisoner and dropped the charges against me. I was able to get things done, but it all changed in about 1993. They had taken over the news media. They bought it out.
Right.
You know, just like my ex-in-laws bought Walt Disney, and that's ABC News, and Bush's had control of CNN. So they called it the Cocaine News Network with Ted Turner because it was proffered up by buying a stock with drug money. And then they took over NBC and all the other networks. They control them all. I mean, the only one it isn't controlled that I'm aware of is Current TV. That's Al Gore's network. And he's, you know, they have Keith Olbermann over there, who's doing an excellent job of reporting the best he can. The others, I don't have too much, you know, I won't give them credit that are on that network because they don't deserve it. All they're doing is playing stooge game with the Republican Party, the other party. But, you know, the news media was taken over. And, you know, when you have that, you don't have the checks and balances. It's like they eliminated them in government. They've eliminated them on the outside, which was supposed to be the free press. And, you know, there's something I missed in talking about these satellites is the fact that the voting machines, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Go in and read the story in the NSA building that I linked in the very bottom, because it was done by Tom Flock. It was an excellent story, because I was aware, and I said it on Kerry Cassidy's show, you know, I got foreign intelligence to bring in a Sputnik satellite on the day of the election of 2004. And they knocked two of those satellites out of orbit that were committing treason and sedition. And there was a true, fair election. It was the first election that was ever true and honest. Every other election, including everyone since, including Obama's election, were done because they knew the satellites were going to protect the voting booths, the electronic voting booths. So the NSA, here we go again, the NSA, where all the dirt lies, where all the slime is, where all the people inside the NSA, as far as I'm concerned, are dirty. 9 out of 10 of them are doing what Daddy Bush tells them to do. That's the control box over America. They went in with chips and ran around 2 weeks in advance. Nobody was watching the ground. And they loaded up the voting machines in advance as they were taking them out of the, you know, the storage units and loading them up, already knowing who they wanted and to keep an office and put an office. So your vote doesn't count. So if you think something's going to change, ask yourself, folks, a simple question. Why is it that every year we hear this garbage about the Republicans versus the Democrats and nothing's ever done? And they keep getting more control. The New World Order, the 1% that Occupy keeps screaming about, everybody else. And why is it that after they get in, you never see change? Then every time it comes election year, if you just vote for me, there's going to be change. I don't know about the rest of you, but after 30 years, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing their bull.
Yeah, it is. It's just mouthing words. They just reorganize the words and make it sound like it's different, but it's not. They're all spoon fed. Everything is spoon fed in their stew. It really is.
Look who's backing them money wise.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you have to do is look at the money trail.
Yep, that's right.
That's what I've always followed.
Yep. Follow the money, baby. Follow the money.
That's it. It's just like 911.
Yep.
I can tell you, I put out the report clear back in 2007. It was Waymark Foundation. Who created that? It was Silverado drug money. They got laundered out overseas to a Swiss bank through the Isle of Jersey, et cetera. The whole trail, I gave it. It's in the book, The Mafia, CIA, and Bush, but we didn't know it was the 911 terrorist money. It got laundered through Isley Brokerage in Gresham, Oregon, and Isley Brokerage is out of Las Vegas and Reno. And then that money was Milman's Waymark Foundation, Gwendolyn Waymark, who paid Jack Abramoff of the Greenberg tar rig, Greenberg as in Hank Greenberg of AIG. It was the Israeli boys who paid the terrorists, should we say, and the operation on 911 to wire the buildings, to put the ones on the ground, the Israelis, all these Israelis they picked up on the day of 911, and then Bush turns them loose 3 weeks later. I mean, that's the money trail. There's a report up there that says, Occupy Larry Mizell, bank bailout dick. In that report is the original 2007 report posted on my internet site about the money trail.
Yep, exactly. Well, here's where we're at, Stu. We're at getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to take this few-minute break here. When we come back, there were several other questions that we didn't even get to from the first hour. We're going to start off with having you answer those questions, and then we're going to continue conversation into some other arenas. And this is just going to take us where it's going to go. So you guys, stay with us. We got some music, a couple of commercials here. And then when we come back, we're going to have more of Stu Webb right here on Journeys with Rebecca. Please don't go away.
For the latest news and information, please go to Rebecca's website. Log on to wowwowwow.journeyswithrebecca.com and also wowwowwow.rebeccajernigan.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Things that make you go, rang. Who could it be? Thought to myself, then started to shrug. Got to the door, ding dong, who is it? My girl's best friend had paid me a visit. Fly as can be, tight dress and all. She knew that I was faithful and really didn't have to go. I tried to chill, she made the move. Now I know my girlfriend wouldn't approve. I didn't realize my girl was setting me up. Yo, my girlfriend didn't trust me, no. Yup, but she lost control, I wouldn't take the bait. I said, chill, baby, baby, chill, baby, baby, wait. My girl bust in, what us creating the boom. She said,
girlfriend, things to make you move.
Things that make you go. The brother that can trample, ruin your life, sleep with your wife, watch your behind. There was a friend of mine named Jay, would come over late at night and say, hey, I watched your fight, I thought it was alright, cause me and Jay, we were really, really tight, so damn close, we're the same blood type. Months went by and my wife got big, we were having a child and I got another kid, so I let Jay move in the crib and chill. He had his own room and helped pay the bill. The time had come for baby dog to receive. It looked like Jay and I couldn't believe, before my eyes in the delivery room.
Make you go,
This is Stuart A. Swerdlow, and you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Send an email to the show to Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. You are listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the little short break. And we've got more of Stu Webb right here. Stu, I'd like to get to a couple of questions here so that they don't get lost in the shuffle. That came in during the first hour of the show. And one of this is that you were actually telling a story, apparently on Carrie's show, of an entity who broke into your house and did not get to complete that story. So if you could talk about that for, you know, a brief moment, that would be helpful to the audience, for those that listen to your interview with Carrie.
Well, it comes down to this. When I was, there's been two times entities have been in my house. One time was what they call the Invisible Men, and this was in the 2004-2005 time frame. And I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm being smothered. and I got a pillow over my face, and I don't have pillows over my face while I'm asleep. And, you know, I'm trying to push it off and get rid of it. And, you know, I screamed because I have a faith in God, in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I screamed, "Help, Jesus." And all of a sudden, the pillow went flying across the room. And I looked, you know, I woke up, I'm looking, and I could see the outline of two entities that suddenly were just like moving across the room. And where I was at was a half a concrete wall, and the other half was wood above it, halfway underneath, you know, the ground. And they went through the wall, and I could hear him say, "He thinks he's a preacher." Well, I found out later that Area 51 assassins, they can put on this little metal cloak that's like a big trench coat. It's all made of some kind of metal, and they can dial this thing, and they become semi-invisible. It comes back to the Tesla technology, for those that may be in the know. Nikola Tesla, one of our scientists back in the 30s and 40s, turn of the century, that made free energy and made the flying saucers anti-gravity and from two magnetic disks. And they have the Tesla Society in Colorado Springs that I've done speeches out there in the past to patriot groups. You can just look up Nikola's work, Nikola Tesla. And it's come to further on that. But they traded in the 1954 alien agreement, they call it, where, you know, the aliens in Roswell were real. We give them bases around the United States, and in exchange, they give us invisibility. That was the 1954 to 2012 agreement, they call it. But that was one time. Another time, I had the what they call Baphomet, the gold-headed demon, in my bedroom. And again, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here. And he knocked the front door off the hinges coming in, and he was thrown through the other door on the way out, French doors. So, you know, I've had some real wild experience, but it comes back to the satanic side of it with the gold-headed demon was from devil worshiping that these Illuminati bankers do, the 100 of them, which my ex-in-law was one of them. And I have on the front page of my website, I've been reporting since 2001, where I found out that they do satanic worship, where they kill an infant, drink its blood, and worship Satan, and, you know, he comes up and gives them instructions and so on and so forth. Well, we are up against, in these 100 Illuminati bankers, they're all Satanists. They do worship the devil. They even have what they call the Council of 13, the control of the world, and the Council of 13 are the 12. And, of course, the devil appears before them like a couple of times a year during their satanic ceremonies, okay? My ex-in-laws were one of them. My ex-father-in-law is what they call an MJ-12 member. There's 12 of them above the President of the United States that dictate to him between what they call the aliens and the humans. The aliens aren't aliens in Roswell, in my opinion. They're the fallen angels that were cast down here upon the earth when they had the war in heaven, just like our scripture and what I go by says.
Well,
and I might add, they got bases at Area 51. It's not Groom Lake, the test site. It's at Papoose Lake, also in behind Denver, Colorado, and they're in the Argo Tunnel, which is underneath Idaho Springs, Colorado, part of the Colorado Chain of Mines, is a secret base underneath there that they actually have the Western White House and Western Capitol built in. They got tunnels running all over the place, including to the Denver Tech Center, to a hotel that Dick Cheney was hiding out in constantly in the presidential suite when he was vice president, where he could escape into the hole, they call it.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that stuff going on, and it's very cloak and dagger, I'm going to tell you that. But you know,
Rebecca, I had one of the Area 51 scientists who developed, and I said this on Carrie's show, Ed Slade. He became a personal friend of mine. He was killed back in this last October for opening his mouth to me and to others. There's a up on the front page of my website, it says Area 51 scientists under a section that says whistleblowers. And it's got a link to him and some of the radio programs he did with another guy on Freedom Fighters for America. And in that, he was credited by the government for inventing and designing the lunar module that landed on the moon. And he told me, he says, "Stu, I was credited for that." He says, "I'll be damned." He says, "If they didn't use Tesla technology, the anti-gravity, the saucers, in that technology to land on the moon after they credited me for this," because he said there wasn't any dust blown up off the moon. He says, "I knew it was anti-gravity, and I find out years later that it was anti-gravity that they used." So they use the alien technology, they call it, to do that. Now, this technology, they made this agreement in 1954. If a person goes in there and listens to those archived radio shows with Ed Slade, he was going off, getting a little senile, going off on, you know, other subjects and stuff. But Ed was one of the scientists that worked at Area 51, Papoose Lake. And this is how far the technology goes. As he had told me personally, "After I'm dead, you could say it on the radio." Well, you know, I breathe only because of God, and I know that. It's the only reason I'm alive. They've tried to hit me 30 times, 3 in the past year, including a customer's house. They burned to the ground in Prairie Village back in October to stop me from working and making money. Now, Ed told me the story, many stories, but one of them was where he made a block of metal, mu metal, the robotoids, the robots are made out of. Fused it with element 115. He fused it with what they call element or another element, and fused it with radiation. It became what they called the polium the saucers are made out of. And he said that he was told to take this big block of metal down to a pyramid and meet with so and so, this weird name. He goes down there and meets with him, and this guy, he hands him the block of metal. He goes, "No, Ed," he says, "take the block of metal." He said this guy stood 7 feet some odd inches tall. He says he looked human, but his features weren't human. He says he told him to go set it out 40 to 50 yards, which he did. And he says, "Then come back here." He came back. He says, "Now watch this." He says, "What's this metal for?" You know, he says, "Now watch this." And all of a sudden it turned into a flying saucer. He goes, "How did you do that?" He says, "I thought it into a flying saucer." Then he thinks it back in. Immediately it disappears. He says, "Where'd it go?" He says, "It's back to a chunk of metal." He says, "Now, Ed, you do that." This is Ed Slade working for the CIA, one of our top scientists, under the disguise of Colt Arms, Area 51, Papoose Lake, Nevada. He thinks, tries to think it into a flying saucer. The guy's reading his mind. Ed's not saying a word. He says, "No, Ed, your thought pattern's wrong." He says, "You got to get the negativity out of here, and you got to think it this way," and blah, blah, blah. And Ed started thinking it that way, and all of a sudden it turns into a flying saucer, of which Ed got a joyride into outer space and back to show him what he was flying in and what he had fused and made together. This is some of the technology that ties, I have found, that ties to these satellites that I was unaware of that are up there now, that Carrie Cassidy had asked me about on her second show. I have found out about those. She had said, people say that the satellites supposedly rejuvenate and create new little satellites off them and all that. That's all fake. That isn't true. They can fix their own electronics, though. They're so sophisticated, they can fix their own electronics. If they were to be hit, say a laser were to hit one of these satellites, they can turn and repair themselves. And yes, they have special shields around them and all kinds of stuff. But there is a lot of disinformation out there with a lot of people that think they're in the know. I don't know everything by any means, Rebecca. And as Daddy Bush says, Stu Webb's library card expired, which is a hell of a metaphor. It means your knowledge of the Bush crime family has got to a point that you must be exterminated. And believe me, they have tried 3 times, including what I mentioned, them rolling me on the concrete barrier, you know, at 60 miles an hour in my van and nearly killing me and breaking my neck in 5 places a year ago. And then they burn a customer's house down a year later in October, then to try to put me out of business. And that was an empty house they just inherited that they didn't know they didn't have insurance on, $160,000 loss in Prairie Village, Kansas, in Johnson County. And then About 10 days later, they crash me in the ass end at 20 miles an hour. It gives me whiplash and a concussion. Then about 8 days later, an Iran-Contra player, J.D. Stevens of Jay's Truck Driving School, an Iran-Contra drug smuggler from Mena, Arkansas to St. Joe and to Kansas City, that was all over TV5 back in 1990 because a federal whistleblower, an IRS whistleblower, got him on the news and come to me, I think in 93 or 94 about it. She had already had him on the news. He ran into me in the side. And I didn't recognize his name until after the accident and asked people in the CIA who this guy was that just recently crashed me. And now I'm fighting insurance companies that don't want to pay for my total vehicle out here in the front of my house and don't want to pay for my medical, but yet they're both liable. They didn't cover it up the way the Grandview police covered up because I was in intensive care for 2 days and ran up a $100,000 bill. These people have put me $340,000 in debt in less than 1 year.
Well, you know, there's not much to say about that except for, you know, that's the kind of stuff that goes on all the time. And it's an atrocity. This is what I call crimes against humanity, Stu.
This is the United States government involved in doing this. This was FBI, Department of Homeland Security personnel, which I can prove were involved in two of the accidents, and a third one was a private investigator working, that is, for a private investigator out of Overland Park that has been stalking me in the past, and I have one of the police reports of that up on my internet site from the past. That's all I want to say for now about those attempts. But the burn job was the FBI clowns. They're using simoleons with Yemen passports that crashed me the first time and rolled me, nearly killed me, and burned the house down. And I can't get anybody to do anything about it except to go to court and sue them. And they're threatening attorneys every time I show up in an attorney's office. Two of them have been threatened, actually, in Kansas City, thinking about it, because I forgot I went this other one, and he was threatened. I told you at the break about the first one.
Right. Well, and, you know, talking about attorneys, one of the things that we spoke about during the break was, surely there has got to be some attorneys out there, and I truly mean this, surely there has got to be some attorneys out there that really do stand for justice and fairness and going above and beyond what a paycheck is going to give them, that maybe we can find somebody out there that can investigate this and start these impeachment processes and start the ball rolling. Maybe there'll be a group of them. You know, there's strength in numbers. You know, there's strength in numbers. So, you know, there's an appeal to attorneys out there, the people that the good attorneys, the ones that really want to help the people. That's what they went into this for, was for justice.
And I'll make it easy for attorneys that are listening or someone knows an attorney, real easy. I have the only, according to attorneys, I'm the only guy that they know of with a current pending grand jury case number that has never been ruled on and never been answered. Other than the fact the original judge, and still is, said, you know, that tried to work through the U.S. attorney. If that doesn't work, you and Al Martin, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, then can appear on your own before a grand jury. Now, they tried to kill both of us. They anthraxed me. They anthraxed Al Martin. AlMartinRawl.com, The Conspirators, fabulous book. Need to get it. I helped get it published. They nearly killed both of us over, jailed him for 45 days until I made phone calls, and I won't get into it, but, you know, they worked his way out of it, should we say, got him out of jail, charges dropped. But it was because of Denver FBI, and it was in Denver that I filed this case number. It's up on my breaking news site where I've, filed several grand jury demands, one to stop him in Vegas against me, and I've tried to transfer it to Kansas City. Corrupt judges in here tried to say, oh, no, you can't, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. This grand jury has never been ruled on. 95Y107, a case filed in Denver, Colorado. The documents are up there with the stamped copy. It's never been ruled on. That means that judge may has to rule to dismiss it or allow it to appear. Now, an attorney did tell me, I told you about in Las Vegas, they gave him all the symptoms of multiple sclerosis, said, come up 25 G's, and I'll get you before the grand jury. He didn't have a license anymore because the guy's half crippled and nearly dead from his multiple sclerosis problem that he had 6 weeks after he agreed to do this for me. So, are there any attorneys out there? You're going to have parting expression, big kahunas, as the girls say, in order to do this.
Well, and true that. So here's the conversation going on in the chat box. Everybody is agreeing that there are no attorneys ever anywhere that's going to do this, that they're all been sold out. And I just don't.
They're scared.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that from who I am sitting here, right now. Well, I believe there is somebody out there. I believe there are several out there. Because if we think that there is no one out there, then what's the point?
Oh, I keep working attorneys all the time, Rebecca.
And somebody's going to come forward. I'm telling you, there's going to be somebody that's going to come forward and get this going, maybe more than one. So, you know, that's the call. That's the call.
I've got, for those that are listening, you got an attorney. I've got 300 people within government, outside of government, been in government with the evidence to put these people in jail for all these crimes we've been talking about tonight, plus a whole bunch of others. Now listen to this, folks. There is no statute of limitations on murders I can prove. There is no statute of limitations on attempted murder, which they've done to me several times and other people. There is no statute of limitations on importation of narcotics into the country, which they're still doing, Iran-Contra, alive and well. There is no statute of limitations on economic plunder, which is the death penalty. And there's no statute of limitations on selling fighter jets to Iran and Iraq illegally, which is up on my website on Breaking News, where it says treason and sedition. And that was done by Daddy Bush again. There is no stat that falls underneath the Barclay-Cohen-Denture Act, which is also the death penalty. No statute of limitations. The key to their crimes is they always make sure that they pass the statute of limitations on financial crimes and other crimes. Say, oh, no, you can't prosecute us because the statute of limitations ran out. They have not run out on those items I just mentioned.
Exactly. Exactly.
Never will. There's no statutes on them.
Right. Exactly. So, okay. So now we're going to switch gears. We got another question that came in. And this is, are you familiar with Benjamin Fulford before I ask the question?
I'm not familiar with him. I've heard things about him from other people.
Okay.
I don't know whether the guy's real or not.
Okay. Well, I don't either. But it's about Benjamin Fulford's claim there does seem to be a massive banking resignations worldwide. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I attribute it to Interpol, of things that I'm aware of that have been going on since Interpol, French intelligence, CIA, German intelligence, and others all decided that it was time to shut down the Daddy Bush crime syndicate and what they were doing worldwide. As I said earlier in the program, it was because of the information I provided them and Tom Hennigan provided to them that led to the, should we say, them going to bankruptcy, that is, the Denver crowd that was creating the artificial mortgages and selling them that caused all this, and then derivatizing those mortgages that caused the bank bailout. Instead of being the bank bailout, it would have been, they would have been in bankruptcy court, they would have been marched off to jail, and it would have been an end to a big problem in America. Instead, George Jr. bails them out because Daddy told him to. That's the problem. Now, there is a movement worldwide to still get these people, okay? And it is Interpol working it. I will say that. I will also say that the gal in charge of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, is a very good gal, and she's trying her best, along with others, to ensure that the financial frauds come to an end.
Well, you know, I talked a little bit about this a little while ago on my show, Stu, about the massive banking resignations. and it's not what it appears to be. Yes, maybe some of them are resigning because they feel the heat, but I also think that they're also being protected, you know, by their cabal, whatever that means. So it's also kind of a you know, chicken way out, you know, is to resign from, you know, financial institutions, whether you be a CEO or a banker or whatever you are, because the heat's coming on, and they and what they're trying to do is get these people out of the limelight. And you know what you don't have in your face, you'll forget, because we are on information overload. This whole world is on information overload. You can get information anytime, anywhere, any place, probably more than when you want it. It's out in the streets. It's on, you know, talked about in the stores. It's on your TV. It's on the radio. It's on internet. Information overload. And if they get these bankers and these CEOs and all these people out there, these financial people, and they get them out of the limelight, then what they're doing is, in my opinion, is they're pulling them back and they're restructuring the story. They're restructuring things.
It could be. It could very well be, but I'm also aware that Interpol is after him, still after him, and would like to see a lot of people jailed and these derivatives and all this other stuff come to an end, and all this game that they've done. They would like to see certain people prosecuted. You know, Rebecca, everybody go on information overload. All these crimes have everything from real estate loan fraud to bank fraud to the bank bailout to the SNL crisis, the RTC crisis, to the now buying back all these from, you know, in bundles that they're doing now with these repoed houses and all the other stuff. It all comes back to the same people. There's one. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, there's 100 Knights Templar bankers, Illuminati bankers worldwide. The ones in the, they call them, that split it down, so for the edification of the listeners. There's three groups. There's the American group, Illuminati bankers. There is the European Illuminati bankers. And then there's the Oriental Illuminati bankers. In America, I've never been able to identify them. It's so secret to have them all. But in America, these are the ones that I've identified. It's Daddy Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. My former father-in-law, Leonard Milman, who has now been taken over by Larry Mizell, the appointed one, they call him. I might add, Milman before him was Meyer Lansky. Meyer Lansky appointed Milman when he died. Milman appointed Mizell when he died. It goes on to the next Satanist Illuminati banker they choose, usually the sons. In America, it's Daddy Bush, Larry Mizell, Carl Linder of Ohio that pretends to be a Baptist preacher, who isn't, he's a Satanist. It is David Rockefeller. His brother was one of them, Lawrence, that died. He was the richest on the planet when he died in 2003. In I think it was November. It's Bill Grace Jr., William Grace, Grace and Company Jr. These are, and Henry Kissinger. These are the ones in America that are controlling everything. And then you have, of course, the Rothschild, Baron Rothschild out of England or out of France, wherever he's at. And then the others, you know, I mean, I've got a list buried someplace of some of the other names that really aren't on my radar scope, but it's hard to get them. Now, a lot of people yell and scream, oh, no, it's the Bilderbergers. It's the Bilderbergers, and they're having a secret meeting. No, they're just an underlying effect. What you have is take the pyramid on the back of a dollar bill. The all-seeing eye is Lucifer, Satan, that they worship. The first layer of stones in that pyramid are the Illuminati 100. Underneath them is the crime syndicate that they have built. And that's where the different layers come. The layer which they call the Bilderbergers, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, etc. They're another layer underneath the Illuminati bankers. That's like the next layer on the pyramid, and it splits from there. What we have is 100 men worldwide in control. We have underneath them 100 people running the corporations worldwide, or not 100, excuse me, 10,000. And we have buried in our government, we have 50,000 of them buried as presidential appointees, career employees that have been moved up, etc., within the government. They are the ones that are the problem. So in the United States, the problem is Daddy Bush, Larry Mizell, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, Carl Linder. Then you have the 10,000 of these corporate heads, which 6,000 of them are living and are citizens of the United States. If they were all taken down, should we say arrested, the problem could be resolved. Because then what you would see is you would see the Congress and Senate and everybody running for cover. They wouldn't want to be around.
Well, that's what we can hope for. So here's where we're at. We're at another little short break, you guys. So I want you to stay with us. When we come back, we've got more of Stu Webb. So please don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
For the latest news and information, please go to Rebecca's website. Log on to wowwowwow.journeyswithrebecca.com and also wowwowwow.rebeccajernigan.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. Although many of you know me from my radio show, Journeys with Rebecca, I spent many years prior on TV, facilitating workshops, and presenting all across the United States. A gifted spirit communicator, certified in numerous healing techniques and skills. With my diverse tools, I can assist you in your quest for information of your own journey, unique to you. Please visit my website, RebeccaJernigan.com, to sign up for your confidential and personal reading today, or email me at journeyswithrebecca@yahoo.com.
Send an email to the show to Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. You are listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. My guest tonight is Stu Webb, and oh my goodness, this time has just flown by. We're down to the last few minutes of the show here, about 25 minutes or so. It just went by really fast, Stu. Tons of information that you've shared with everyone. And still tons more that we could sit here and talk about. You know, we have a lot of different ways that all of us can contribute to this, that we can, you know, certainly expose this and certainly maybe get some fire lit, so to speak, under some people's butts that can really make some things happen. And they would have a whole bunch of support from the people who are, you know, very tired of this game. This game doesn't work for humanity. None of this game works for humanity at all. And I'm talking about worldwide. This doesn't just affect us here in the United States. It is worldwide. And we must put an end to it. It must be done differently. We must have a different future. We must have the look of a different future. And in order to do that, we have to create that in the now. Because nothing changes if you don't do anything now. One of the things that I would like to, we talked about a little bit in the break, is all of these Occupy movements. You know, there was the Tea Parties before that, and then the Occupy movements. You know, if we could get some more of this interest rolling that way, that would be an extremely beneficial thing. But before you answer any of that, before you go into that, I want to get back to this contract that the ETs made with our president of the United States at that time. This contract,
Eisenhower,
and our what happens in 2012? You know, the contract is supposedly up. There was a lot of nefariousness about that, and you know that's created a lot of these. You know, we've got places all over the country that's all they do is they're disinformation people. They're the ones that feed these news stories so that your attention is taken off what's really going on, what is really going on in this country, in this world. And that's also been a real kind of bone of contention of mine, is all of these people that are getting paid to put out garbage, and they know it's garbage. They know what their job is. You know, if I made a news story today that said, "Hey, nobody's buying gold," and it was true. You know, nobody was buying gold. These disinformation people would see this story, and they would begin to work against this, because it wouldn't be in their interest for that story, the truth, so to speak, to come out. So they would begin this big campaign, and it goes all over. Pretty soon this goes viral, and what it is to keep you off the track of what's really going on. When you begin researching it, you may come into 1,000 different dead ends. There's no real way of defining what the truth is, and that is all part of this big scheme. It's all part of this big scheme. They keep people in a state of confusion and disinformation, and people arguing with each other over what is really the facts and what isn't the facts, then they keep people away from the real, true happenings around the globe. It's not just here. So, you know, this whole contract here, you know, it's like, what happens when this contract expires, right?
I asked myself, you know, I tried to reach Ed and ask him the date. Matter of fact, I was talking to him about every 2 weeks, and the day I called, last time I called, they were burying him in October. I called him up to ask him what the date was in 2012 that the contract expires and what it would mean. Well, his brother took it, answered his cell phone. They had just buried him. I didn't even know he was killed.
Oh, my goodness.
I touched base with friends that knew him. I was checking on him on occasion and told me all the, you know, the circumstances around his death. But he was screaming and yelling, you know, to me 2 weeks before. The heat was on him, and the invisible men kept coming in his place, you know. The cloak boys from Area 51, where he had worked and was familiar with the technology and how it worked, you know. So I don't know about the date, what the, you know, the ending time is. And I just know that we got some hellacious things coming down this year. You know, we've got this planetary alignment coming down. It's going to be in a big cross, according to what, you know, people say that they can see in the super collider over in Switzerland, that all of our planets are lining up. You know, you can see it in the media. They've talked about it on CNN, or one of them, you know, mentioned that they had a moonquake once here recently. You can see the different things all over the History Channel, you know, talking about the fact of the Mayan calendar and so forth, ending on December the 22nd, 2012. There's a lot of things that are very interesting. You know, they're able to control the jet stream now, so the weather wars, as I call it. And I was one of the first to report on it. Jesse Ventura shares the same source. He put it in one of his TV programs that he did. You can find him up on the internet under Governor Jesse Ventura about how they can modify the weather. That's the reason we're having this crazy weather. And they're trying to burn out the food crop. You know, they want to take us, half the humans, off the planet because, quote unquote, we are eating up their, using up their natural resources, as Daddy Bush says. You know, there won't be enough around. But I am aware of their agenda in other areas. One of them is their satanic agenda. This is good versus evil. I believe in the God. I believe in Christ. I believe that there is a devil, yes, and he's going to be unleashed on this planet soon, in my personal belief. I believe that we are living in the end days. I'm not sure whether there's going to be a so-called rapture. Don't worry, Christians. Don't fight the enemy. Just, you know, God's going to rapture you off the planet. I don't buy that. You know, we're going to see things that the so-called Christian pulpagoon ministers, I call them pulpagoons, most of them don't have faith or belief. They're going to get their heads shook off their heads soon, and they aren't going to believe what happened. They're going to be saying, oh, I missed the boat someplace or whatever. Yeah, because they don't have it right, because they're in the pulpit to get a paycheck, and they're leading the flock in disaster. You know, if true firm believers will get on their hands and knees and start praying against the enemy, which most of them don't know what that is. That's the reason they go to churches, to get the Pulpagoon to pray for them. Leave your check and on the way out the door, or come up here, I'll pray for you, and God will take care of your problem. Leave your check on the way out the door. God doesn't want that. He wants firm believers and warriors down here. You know, he didn't have Goliath go pick up 3 stones, and he told him by faith to do it or to do it. He went and did it, and it just took 1 stone to slay Goliath. I mean, time and time again, we're told to do certain things, and then he's told to go slay tens of thousands, and there's reference throughout the Bible on these things. We are up against the enemy. And if the people really knew what Area 51 is for, not aliens, but they had to make contact with humans, why? Because they needed to destroy the planet they think and take over. It's all prophesized, and my belief is, and I can see it, and I can feel it, I can see the changes happening. We're in the great book, or the great tribulation. If we're not already in it, we're about ready to enter it. And people are going to see things that they wish they weren't on this planet. But also at the same time, the consciousness and prayer works, and I know it works. I'm still breathing and living to talk about these things. If people had true faith and get on their hands and knees and start praying that God destroy this enemy, he might just interfere and let mankind survive for a while down here with all this hell getting ready to break loose. It's already happening. And he might just remove these public officials. And, you know, as a nation says, you turn from your wicked ways, you know, I'll heal your land. You know, and when the righteous are in authority, what? You know, you're happy. But when evil, when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. Well, take it for what it's worth. I did my preaching for this part of the program.
Well,
I'm a warrior.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you.
Well, Moses killed a man in self-defense. You know, it doesn't mean we're supposed to go out here and kill him. And, you know, I want to say something. I don't hate these people. I don't have hate for the enemy. I hate the evil. God says not to hate people. He says, but he despises the evil. I hate the evil that they represent. And that's what they are. They represent evil. They're doing evil against the people, all of us on the planet. And if we don't put a stop to them, they will have better than half the planet destroyed shortly.
Well, I think that the time is coming here for all of this information. That's one of the reasons why there's so much information out here now, Stu, is so that people can make a conscious choice of how they want to express themselves. How do they want their life to look? We are in a great period of change. I call it the Great Awakening. And that's where I come from. This is the Great Awakening. This is not about death, doom, and destruction as much as it is about the people. You know, you put it into the God form. If God, you know, God gave us all a brain, we all need to use it. And we need to use it because we choose to live our life in a different way than we have allowed ourselves to be living. And we've allowed for this. No one has stepped in. No one has, I shouldn't say no one. People haven't stepped up enough to the plate to affect the change, and that's why it's gotten to the point of where it is. This is a big, it's a big implosion ready to happen. It can be done in a very peaceful manner. It can be done in a way where life and limb and property doesn't have to go away. But we have to figure out the best way to do that. We have to go forward in this without hatred in our heart, but because we all have the divine right to be here. Each and every one of us have the divine right to be here. We have a right to housing. We have a right to be happy. We have a right to grow our own food. We have a right to say what we want to say. We have all of those rights, and we need to start looking at those rights, and we need to say, you know, I'm not liking the way that this is going. So let's see what we can do. So there is a plea going out here is where I'm getting to with this, Stu. And the plea is, let's have some people that are in positions that can help affect the change, and the people will follow. They will assist. There's all kinds of people out there that would assist if we could get people that are in places that they can actually make something happen. So let's do it. Let's just make it happen.
I'm in agreement with you 100%, and that's what it amounts to. And it's a matter of, as I've said earlier in the show, we have people that are in control of the toys, okay, the military. There are good people inside that military. There are good people in government. People have to understand this. 60% of the workforce in America works for the United States government. They work for state governments. They work for county governments and city governments. That's 60% of the workforce. That's the people. But the problem is they aren't awake, many of them, because they're told not to go to internet sites or listen to radio shows like yours or come to internet sites like mine or yours, etc. Because if they want to continue their paycheck, they got to get this attitude out, because what's going to happen is they won't have a paycheck one of these days, because we will have a problem in this country and it will go on worldwide. And they're facing the same crap that's going to happen if we don't change it.
Right. Let go of the fear.
Boys, you know, as Daddy Bush, I've heard all these different statements from different spooks that worked for him, that, you know, did things for him, that have turned against him over the years, that even some that he doesn't even know. Different statements he's made. New World Order is the consolidation, quote unquote, the consolidation of more power and more money into tighter, fewer, righter, leader, or wider hands. You black people out there, including you, Obama, don't fit in because you're black, because they want an all-white Aryan Nation race. I had one reporter say, the Fifth Reich, they're calling it. The Fifth Reich, that's Daddy Bush and his gang of an all-white Aryan Nation race. I've also heard him make statements that, you know, all we have to do is keep enough the Budsters, the American people, the Bud people, he calls them, B-U-D people, the broke, the useless, and depressed. All we have to do is keep enough food on their table, a car, a roof over their head, a car in their driveway, and gas in their gas tank to get to and from work, and we can keep the Budsters at bay watching their TV sets, and we'll own and control everything, and we'll give them a job in our corporations that we'll eventually take them all over and all the workforce and get rid of mom and pop operations, or they'll work for the government. And he says, governments are only there for us to control the people. And he says, religions are only there for us to control the people. Political parties are only there for us to control the people.
That's true.
Those are some of his statements.
Yep.
The spokes, people in the CIA, NSA, other in military intelligence agencies.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's all this stuff that's documented. It's documented, all these speeches that these people have made, and yet we don't think twice about it. We don't think twice about it. We don't go back and think twice about it. But yet these statements have been made, because I've done some research on this as well, Stu, going back and watching old videos, old speeches that presidents or president-elects or prior to their presidency, before they're running, some of the statements that these people have made, and you kind of go, really? And they got voted into office. Of course, we know that they didn't really get voted into office. We know that it's been usurped. It's, you know, been taken over. We know that.
It's the voting booths, and the whole key in the past is the Westart satellite system, and now it's all hooked up into this new Bluffdale, Utah center that they'll control the voting booths. I mean, we're talking about the National Security Agency of the United States government. We the people are the government. We're allowing them to control the voting for the past 15 to 20 years, okay? Privatized New World Order. Look at all the people inside there in running the agency. You got all kinds of Mossad heads in there. What the hell is a foreign intelligence, the Israeli Mossad, controlling the NSA for?
Well, and you know, that's another thing. You know, here's another little or a big thing that they've done. You know, they would like us to believe that all these countries are at war when, in fact, they're all working in conjunction with each other. They're still vying for position. Don't get me wrong. They're still jockeying. But they'll scratch each other's backs. And then they'll claim war, but yet they will bankroll it. And it's amazing if you go back and you start seeing where this – follow the money. Follow the money trail. In any situation, if you want to find out what really happened – who started what war and for what reason, follow the money. Just follow them, because that's what's going to lead you to find out really the nefariousness that's went on all around the globe. It's not just the United States. It's not just the United States. It is all around the globe. And who's in whose pocket will just, it's just absolutely, it's astounding to me.
And ask yourself, why is Hillary Clinton in charge of the State Department? Why did she want to become Secretary of State? People don't realize this. Say if that you have oil drilling equipment and you're going to sell it to, say, some other country. We can say Israel. They got buried corporations in between you and Israel that every time a sale is made, there's an extra $1 million tacked on to the price of that. And they claim it to be government, which it isn't. It's going into the pockets of the crime syndicate. Why is it that Dick Cheney, why is it that his daughter, that freak, why is it that she was put in the State Department to ensure that Dick got his portion of the contracts? Look at the privatized army, Blackwater. Look at Halliburton protecting the pipelines and the oil. They only controlled 10% of the oil before the Iraq war. Now they're in control of 90%, that and the four, five sister oil companies, they call it. But why is it that they've been able to create this privatized army, going out killing civilians all over the planet, wherever they want to? And they're running underneath these various corporations that are paid by the Defense Department that leads back to subsidiaries of Halliburton.
Right, exactly.
It's bizarre what has been going on. You know, it's all in the control box. We have to take back the control box. And the only way to do it, I hate to say it, and I'm not advocating a revolution, it will come to a physical confrontation with the people. They'll be out here with guns fighting them on the streets very shortly, because their plans are they're going to put troops in the streets of America to squelch the movement. They're going to put to control the people, and there will be roundups, there will be exterminations, and there will be other things that will occur. And if people want to be enslaved and they want all this New World Order stuff, go right ahead. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'll fight until my death and continue, should we say, as long as I have airways and an internet and other ways to get it out. It will come out of me. I mean, I'm just bent on it.
Well, and I think that's, you know, and
I won't live like a slave. Well, I have a constitution. I have a country. I'm an ex-Marine, and I'm a pissed-off father that I haven't seen my daughter since she was an infant, okay? They have a problem with guys like me.
Well, you know, Stu, we just need to keep getting the word out. We just need to keep educating people. You know, I know that you are going to continue your good work. I know you're going to continue your research, and I know that every day you bring out and you research and you bring out new stories. You bring all of this up and keep this out there, and I encourage the people to go to and look at your website, because you do have breaking news and you find it most every day, and you know, and see what's happening, and then figure out how that this really works into how you can make a difference, how the individual can make a difference, because individually we're just one person, but there are many people out here that are thinking just along the same lines. They're wanting this information. They're wanting to affect a change as well. We just need to try to do this without bloodshed, if we can.
Well, I'm all for that. I'm not into the bloodshed, and I'm right with you on this. I think consciousness and awakening, if we continue getting the word out here to the people, they're going to wake up. I mean, I have never seen, Rebecca, such an awakening since 2008. I hate to say it, but it took hitting them in the pocket with the financial crisis and all their pension funds going bye-bye. Yep. And what's unreal, those that think they have 401ks that you're still paying into, one of these days you're going to wake up, it's going to be announced that you don't have a 401k. It's just a paper F that they've done to you.
Yeah. I lost all of mine. I didn't have much, but I had retirement fund, and it is actually several of them. I got tenure at some jobs and had some retirement money set back, and it's gone. I'll never see it.
And, when nope. they, when they come to their New World Order money one of these days. Remember, the 100 bankers control the Federal Reserve, and the 100 bankers control the ECB, the European Central Bank, they call it. It's the same people.
It is. Okay?
And they're going to go to a one-world currency one of these days because they have no choice. And when they go to that, oh, boy, there goes your retirement fund. You'll get a piece of paper saying you have nothing left. It was lost. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So all you out there that think you're all comfortable, you're not comfortable at all. You're just going to get awakened, should we say, a little bit later than most Americans are seeing it now and most people around the planet.
Exactly. And I think for the listening audience here, though, Stu, I think most of them are quite well aware of it. And if they're not, then they need to be aware of it. They need to really figure it out. There was something else I was going to say. Now I lost my train of thought here. I think we've got, about 4 minutes left or 3 minutes? How much longer do we have here?
I'm showing about 8 minutes till the hour.
Yeah, we need to break off, though, just before that to get ready for the next show behind us here. So I want to make sure that we wrap this up and get enough information out here before we have to let you go tonight. I do want everyone to really think about what was shared here tonight, because this was a lot of really good information. We tried to get you to, you know, share as much information as you possibly could in the short period of time that we had, because even though we were here for 2 hours, it really just goes by very, very fast, as you well know, Stu.
Yes.
And we have to really bind together as humanity, not as just Americans, but as humanity. We have to bind together. We have to make this commitment that humanity is more important than those 100. And that was the other portion I wanted to talk about. I don't want to get into it too much because we're going to lose time here. But, you know, our charter for the Federal Reserve is up. Some people say it's 2012. Some people say it's 2013. And they've already made the announcement that they're not going to renew the charter with the United States for being the bank. And I would like for somebody to follow that story, and let's get back with that at some point too, Stu, in regards to the charter, because I think that's when the switch off is going to take place.
That's when this new currency is going to go in effect. They've already got it in print and the whole bit, I've been told, probably a couple years ago. And all they're going to do is just load up the banks, get it to the banks, they'll make the announcement, and then everybody will be underneath the new currency. You know, Rebecca, I don't ever ask people, you know, to contribute, but I'm broke. I know that you could use money to keep continuing the word out. I've got to, you know, I got to raise some funds. I can't collect money right now from insurance companies. I can't go make a living right now. I got a busted back and neck. You know, I just don't ask. But if anybody ever wants to contribute, then come to my breaking news site. There's the information there.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I do ask people to do that. You know, I do ask people if there's, you know, any way that you can donate a little bit. And, you know, things are going to change, and we're not always going to have to do things this way. It's going to be different. I don't know when that difference comes in, Stu, to tell you the truth. I don't know when that's going to switch over. I'm sure they're going to give us as little notice as possible so that they try not to disrupt or throw the country into, you know, some kind of revolution.
Panic.
Yeah, panic. But I really, what I feel with this, I'm going to give you my take on this. I feel like before there is a one-world government or one-world a monetary system, that they're going to make a step. They're going to change over one monetary system into another, and then the next step will be more towards the world monetary system. Because there are still some countries out there that don't want to buy into that. By the way, they just don't want to buy into that. They're not playing by the rules. You know, we've still got some of these countries that are jockeying for position, and that's just exactly what they're going to continue to do. And so we're going to see a little dissension among the ranks here as time gets closer to all these bigger changes. And I think that's where we need to keep an eye on as well. So we've got about a minute left. Please do join me next Thursday night. I'm back on Thursday nights. There's a new show that I'm hosting with Sienna Lee and Becca, what's her name, Tozer. And it's Real Women. And the stepping up and the men who love them. So that is going to be a new ongoing radio show coming up next March 29th. And so I hope you'll join me next Tuesday for Bill Bean. He'll be here on Tuesday night, next Tuesday night. Stu Webb's website is S-T-E-W-W-E-B-B, stuwebb.com. Please do go to the website. Look through the breaking news. Put it in on your favorites. Please do mark that so that you can go back and read the news stories, read all the blanks, fill it all in, connect all the dots. Stu's done a lot of work for everyone. And Stu, I want to thank you so much for being here with us tonight and sharing all of this information. This has just been absolutely fantastic. I appreciate you so much.
Well, I thank you, Rebecca, and I thank JP, and I thank your audience for listening.
You betcha. And yeah, you guys, don't forget to, if you've missed any of this, you can go into the archives at wolfspiritradio.com and click on the archives, look for my show. You'll see these up in the archive a little bit later tonight. Blessings to you each until we meet again, wherever your life's journey leads you. Bye, everyone.